Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Really glad that David Noble is in the house here on this Thursday. You know, he's with us almost every Thursday, but, you know, he's got a pretty big day job. He's also an attorney, and then he's got his Lecture Fan Twitch TV podcast, and he's on X at LCTR Fan and much more. So I always understand if he can't join us because of his busy day job. But David, I've been seeing you on X taking the fight to the people who claim to be more MAGA than Mr. MAGA himself, Donald J. Trump, when it comes to this whole Israel-Iran thing. So I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait till David comes in and sounds off on Thursday.
Well, you know, I have a degree in foreign policy. I mean, I got my, at the University of Montana, political science, you get a chance to focus in something. I focused in IR, which is international relations. I studied abroad 3 times. I've been to over 25 countries. I spent my entire life studying foreign policy and international war foreign relations. I still subscribe to the academic journal known as Foreign Affairs. You'll see articles in Foreign Affairs where it's Trump's national security advisor writing an article, and then they'll have an article from Obama's national security advisor. These are long, sort of long form academic foreign policy, international relations theory type articles. I do that.
But more importantly than all that, you grew up in Manhattan, Montana, so right. You got common sense.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. No, I mean, that's exactly right. I kind of feel like a small town Manhattan kid. And of course, when I first studied abroad in college, I had never really traveled at all. And so to go from, you know, spending my entire life in Manhattan, Montana, to now, you know, traveling to all these foreign countries overseas, that's really what made me more conservative. I'm convinced that the more people travel overseas, the more people learn about other countries, the more people learn history, that the more conservative they become. That's been my experience.
You know, that's what I wanted to ask one of her, but I didn't want the caller to think I was judging him, but we had one of our callers was, well, why are we even involved over there? And we're going to get into a war with Iran. It's like, do you realize, like, no, actually what Trump is doing right now will finally end this war with Iran.
And will prevent us from getting more involved.
But, like, I wanted to ask this guy, I was like, have you ever traveled kind of elsewhere around the world? Like, I don't think people realize just how large our American footprint and the European footprint is in the Middle East, even to this day, right now. I think they have no idea how big of a footprint is still there. And they think, oh, well, if we let Israel do something in Iran and prevent them from getting their hands on nukes, well, we're going to end up sending all these troops to the Middle East. Do you realize how big the footprint is there right now, and in large part because of the threat from Iran?
Well, exactly right, and it's been that way since the end of World War II. The United States has exerted military force worldwide and across all of the high seas worldwide since the end of World War II. And it's like, oh, you guys want to just, you know, flip that on its head, you know, 80 years. How is that conservative to flip our foreign policy 180 degrees on its head and do a radical change in our foreign policy? That's not conservative.
Not only that, but Donald J. Trump, have you been to or watched any one of his rallies? I'll bet we could go back and rewatch the rally in Bozeman from last August, and I'm sure he mentioned, you know, Iran not getting their hands on nukes. Actually, Senator Sheehy specifically talked about Iran, if I recall right, at that rally.
Yeah, in fact, foreign policy was one of Sheehy's driving motivators.
Great point.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today, a late day shower storm is possible towards Bozeman. Otherwise, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman to the low 90s in Billings. For tonight, chance for scattered storms, especially towards Bozeman. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back to the mid-50s to around 60. Chance for storms Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. With the official start of summer upon us, health experts are sharing insight on how hot weather may impact your appetite. Beth Sirwokny, a registered dietitian with Cleveland Clinic, says you may feel less hungry when it's really hot outside because of something called the thermic effect of food. Another reason you may feel less hungry during the summer could be due to higher levels of activity or even dehydration. And when you're dehydrated, your sense of thirst is stunted. So if you're suddenly really, really thirsty, you're probably already dehydrated. She also emphasizes that drinking throughout the day is always important. The opposite thing happens in the winter when it's really cold outside. Our bodies can crave more food in order to stay warm. So Wilkie says if you notice any major changes in appetite, contact a medical professional. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Summer Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, David and I were talking more during the break. So yeah, thanks for reminding me how this came up. It's like, yeah, wait a minute. Have you never been to a Trump rally? At the Daily Wire yesterday, David, I don't know if you saw this, but they pointed out that for 14 years, consistent, probably even longer than that if we really did the full background research on this, but for 14 years, Donald J. Trump has been consistent. Iran and the terrorists in Tehran cannot get their hands on a nuclear weapon. And so right now, like, we aren't even having to do anything. Israel is taking care of business, getting the job done. Israel is in control of the skies over Iran right now. Dr. Merdad Kia from the University of Montana says the paper tiger is now exposed. He has long described them as a paper tiger. But then you got these people that pretend to be MAGA and more MAGA than Donald Trump saying, why are we allowing Israel to do anything right now?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that absolutely drives me nuts about that, Aaron, is the fact that all of those people, they never criticized Trump's foreign policy or anything. When Trump dropped the Moab on Afghanistan, they never criticized Trump's foreign policy when Trump did not withdraw from Afghanistan during his term completely. They never said a word about it when Trump killed Qassem Soleimani when he was in Iraq. But now, because it's Israel doing it, because now Israel is succeeding, now it's a big problem, and no, we got to stay out of this. And it's like, huh, what's different here? Is it the fact that it's Israel is involved? Is that why all of a sudden all of these people are just, oh, this is horrible, horrible? Because you know what? And unfortunately, there's a lot of Jew hatred in this country on the right and the left, and you see it out there.
More so on the left, but you see an element of it on the right, yeah. That's for sure. Or just Israel hatred, or, yeah. Just
the biggest and most naive thing I see people posting out there is saying things like, the U.S. should not get involved. The U.S. should not get involved in the Middle East. And my response to them is, oh, really? So the U.S. is not involved in the Middle East at all? Really? Since when was the U.S. not involved at all in the Middle East? Because my understanding is the U.S. has been involved and we are involved. And when we've got American fighter pilots flying over the skies of Syria, shooting down Iranian ballistic missiles that are headed to Tel Aviv, that sounds to me like we're a little bit involved already. And when a massive amount of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz, and the United States has always got a carrier strike group in the region ready to do anything that it takes to keep the high seas open to free commercial. It's like, this is, it's so nice. It's like, of course the United States has been and always will be involved, and we have been since World War II. And if you don't like the fact that the United States has a military presence worldwide, well, maybe you ought to step back and say thank you for the safety and security that we all live under right now. The American people have an unbelievable amount of safety and security in our national security. And all of these people, and they just think that we'll just continue to be as safe and secure as we are now, even if we don't have the U.S. military operating worldwide. You know what? I don't want to shut down the U.S. military operations worldwide and just assume that everything is going to be fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I'm trying to, as David is going on this great. It's a rant, but it's more than that. No, it's powerful what David is saying right now. But I'm also simultaneously uploading these old sound bites from the Trump rally. from last August with now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. And these people are like, oh, well, why is Trump saying this about Iran? It's like, have you never been to one of his rallies? So, but I want to make sure, because I know at one point, you know, Tim Sheehy got very passionate. You and I were both there covering that Trump rally, and Senator Sheehy got very passionate and talked about, you know, enough of this BS. So I want to make sure that I can't use the unedited version over the air. So I'm going to upload it into some software, and then we'll play it after the break.
Yeah, but I specifically remember that, and it was a very, very powerful moment during that rally, because Senator Sheehy sort of started out explaining sort of his personal life story and how he volunteered to serve. He was a Navy SEAL. He knew what was going on. And then to see what the Biden administration did after the Trump administration, and he knew. And when Trump pushed the button to kill Qassem Soleimani, and that's when he called him a son of a something. And then
that's right, the SOB. And Soleimani was the head of the IRGC, which is their terrorist, you know, their Revolutionary Guard Corps. And now look at what Israel's been doing this. And they said all hell was going to break loose back then. And it didn't. And then now Israel wiped out all of the IRGC commanders, the top one, but all of them.
Look, so much of the left and the Democrat foreign policy has proven to be wrong. They used to also say, Aaron, that we could never, ever, ever have a peace deal between Israel and an Arab country until the Palestinian issue is 100% resolved. And guess what? That turned out to be false. You know what they also said? They said if America moves its embassy to Jerusalem, that will cause chaos across the entire region. They also said
on the ground in the region when that happened.
Oh, wow.
And I was shopping at a, you know, Arab grocery store, and
yeah,
we actually had a woman come up, you know, traditional, you know, wear everything, her head covered. And she says, I love Trump. I love Trump. I love America. And awesome. I was like, oh, you know, now she, you know, who knows if she was deliberately saying that to us because she knew we were Americans. But either way, like, instead of that region being set on fire, it actually kickstarted more of a peace process.
Right. And we could go on and on and on and on and on about all of these. For example, here's another one. So I was reading the media this. So first of all, in Manhattan, growing up, one of my best friends was of Mexican descent. He was Latino. And so it was so funny because he was over here for a softball tournament at Stewart Park. And I went out to Stewart Park and hang out with my friend. And his dad was there, even more Latino than he is. And great, great friends. And then I go home and I see an article on the media saying that all of, like, even legal citizens in America, if they're Latino, have totally upended their lives and changing their lives. And it's just like everything these people say is a lie, it seems like.
That's exactly, yeah. So your Latino friends, legal, of course.
Legal.
They don't go by Latinx.
No.
They don't use the gender neutral term.
Nope. And they haven't changed their lives one bit. And life is good.
Life is great. We live in Montana.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Medicare has been around for a long time, and its spending excesses have not gone unnoticed over those decades. The fact that spending now has grown to approach $1 trillion per year testifies to the obvious fact that whatever has been tried to curb spending hasn't worked. That doesn't stop political leaders, when they stop ignoring it, to propose more of the same solutions. One is what you might call the don't-touch-a-thing approach, except for payments to providers, which are squeezed to bring down spending. The other approach, equally unpopular, has been to push more copays and deductibles toward recipients in the hope that they'll be more careful with their spending. The other failure of these and other top-down approaches has produced a see-no-evil, kick-the-can-down-the-road approach that simply ignores the train wreck that's clearly ahead. When spending can no longer be papered over, drastic changes to benefits or taxes or both will be forced upon us. There's got to be a better way. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Military matters.
All eyes continue to be on Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, home to the B-2 bomber. The U.S. built about 21 of these stealth strategic bombers to strike deep within the Soviet Union during the Cold War. So far, the Israelis have not struck the nuclear enrichment site at Fordow, south of Tehran, tunneled 300 feet deep below a shale mountain. The U.S. is the only military in the world with the capability to strike this buried program with its B-2 stealth bombers, which carry two massive 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs. They have never been deployed in combat and may only reach 200 feet underground. Past planning has suggested it could take 6 MOPs for each underground site struck. It's a 30-hour round trip to the Middle East from Whiteman Air Force Base that requires a massive air refueling bridge. Some former Pentagon planners said they used to plan for 50 to 60 air refuelers for such a mission. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
There is a lot of happy Montana ranchers today that were able to contract their calves on the Superior Livestock Video Auctions Corn Belt Classic, which concluded yesterday. Let's go over a few of those averages for Montana calves in particular. Montana ranchers saw prices for 4 to 450 weight steer calves see a price of $4.95. 4.5 to 5 weight steers, $4.12 to $4.50. 5 to 5.5 weight Montana steers, $3.66 to $4.40. 5.5 to 6 weights, anywhere from $3.55 all the way up to $4. 6 to 6.5 weight steers, priced at $3.32 to $3.83. Obviously, heifer calves, as usual, are a bit back, anywhere from $15 to $30 compared to the steers, but still strong prices. 5 to 5.5 weight heifers from the Big Sky State on the Superior sale were priced at $3.31 to $3.87. 5.5 to 6 weights, $3.29 to $3.65. At the 6 to 6.5 weights, $3.08 to $3.52. Now, in Billings today, the Northern Livestock Video Auction will kick off its early summer special, offering 64,000 head of cattle on the video market. So a lot of Montana cattle selling this week. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Okay, I've got the Tim Sheehy back on stage with Trump, full edited SOB. That's the that's the title of the audio file, David.
Yeah,
Nova.
Yeah, I did remember that.
Yeah, so let me cue it up in the right spot here. Yeah, this is why I wanted to make sure I pulled up the edited version. I think you actually can use the B word on the radio, but I don't want to risk it, you know. And frankly, I know we got kids in the car and everything, so, you know, it's not going to harm anybody by not hearing the word. They get, you know, those who know. But while I cue this up in the right spot, what do you want to talk about? Other topics or do you got a woke update of the week? I got several good ones if you don't.
I think the biggest news right now is that Supreme Court case. I think that's a good woke update. That's also, frankly, a Trump W of the week, given the Trump appointees outcome on that Supreme Court opinion. But, you know, I agree with sort of the analysis you were doing, Aaron, during the 6 o'clock hour in terms of this should have been an easy sort of close, you know, easy call, 9-0 decision. I mean, of course, a state can protect its kids by preventing adults from chopping off kids' body parts and doing mutilation surgeries. And, you know, here's what's really weird. It's like, okay, if you're going to have a little kid go into a doctor and have their breasts removed or other parts removed, and people are calling that a surgical procedure, like that's not a surgical procedure. You're butchering basically the
little kid. I don't call it care. You can't call it care, and you certainly can't call it gender affirming,
right?
Because you're not if you have a little girl in front of you and you're chopping her breasts off, or if you have a little boy in front of you and you're chopping his penis off,
that's not even
you're
surgery.
Not affirming their gender. No. You're mutilating their bodies,
and it's not surgery. That's butchery or mutilation.
Yeah, I mean it is so sick. But look at the ACLU fighting this.
The crazy thing is, Aaron, and I was talking about this quite a bit during the legislative session about how the way I view this situation right now is just so bizarre to me because we have got with the Trump administration in D.C. some like more conservative policies coming out of D.C. than we're getting out of Helena, and then similarly with the courts. You know, we've got the United States Supreme Court in Washington D.C. is making more correct decisions on issues like that than the Montana Supreme Court, and it's like when did we ever think, Aaron, that D.C. would be further to the right than Helena and Montana. I mean, that's the world we live in, is where we're getting more conservative policies, we're getting better court rulings out of Washington, D.C. than we are Helena.
And that all comes back to our Montana Supreme Court and the far-left Montana Supreme Court, which is why people start raising money, start getting involved in these Supreme Court elections right now. Judge Dan Wilson is running once again. And for all the people who like to sit back and say, oh, well, what about the legislature, this or that? Yeah, I hear you on a number of issues, but this is where the legislature stood united. This is where Republicans stood united when they were often divided on other issues. They stood united in protecting kids from these gender mutilation surgeries and other so-called treatments. And Mike Davis with the Article 3 Project was exactly right. Any so-called doctor or so-called hospital that would do this type of stuff are monsters. To chop body parts off of kids.
Or even to give them the hormone pills. You're a monster if you do that.
Yeah, because you harm their physical body development, bone structure, everything.
Infertile.
Yeah, all for a buck. All for some money. You know? And then, of course, the critical Marxist, critical theory as well behind it for the far left.
Well, somebody, talking about spending money on the Supreme Court race, somebody out there spending money on robocalls against Lou Jones, because I've gotten about four or five voicemails from somebody calling to talk about how Lou Jones blew out the budget in the legislature. And I'm like, look, I already know that. I already know Lou Jones blew out the budget. But somebody's out there spending money on those robocalls.
I saw something on X about that. I think Representative Lou Jones, he was behind a lot of the increased spending bills, so he's drawn the ire of a lot of conservatives over that. I haven't gotten any robocalls myself, but I did see, I think Sean and Shelby messaged us the other day and said, hey, I've gotten like three phone calls from this number.
Yes,
must be the same thing. So yes, somebody out there is going after the moderate Republicans for these big spending bills in the legislative session. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know who's behind it. I'm not necessarily opposed to, because I think it's an honest message in terms of, hey, look, Lou Jones is out there. He's out there the one saying that actually, no, spending only increased 2%, not 18%, and he's defending, all of this stuff. And so I'm not necessarily opposed to, I don't like robocalls or that kind of a thing, but I'm not opposed to getting the information out to the Montana people that, hey, look, you've got, because look, my family's from Conrad. My family homesteaded up near Conrad in the 1800s in the Sweetgrass Hills. And so I think Conrad could do much better. I'll just put it that way.
David, I'm going to throw something at you here. So you know how to run the board. I'm going to leave your microphone on during the Fox update. I'm going to run into another studio and talk to you, because we're testing some remote software right now to make sure it works, because I got to be in Big Sky Tuesday morning. So you'll talk from in here. I'll talk from in there. If you can't hear me, if it doesn't work, just keep yapping like I'm not even here. Does that work for you?
Sounds good. Yeah.
I think if anybody... David Noble, hope you can hear me. Can you hear me in there, David? I'm in the other room right now.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Yeah, you're coming in a little soft, and then I'm hearing a little feedback on my side. But that's all right, because in theory, when I'm broadcasting live from Big Sky on Tuesday morning, I'll pretty much have guests live in person joining me. But, I don't know if you have a woke update of the week, another one to follow. You talked about the Supreme Court case concerning Tennessee protecting kids. But another woke update, I don't know if you saw this. I'll play the audio clip when I get back in studio with you. Jillian Michaels, this fitness guru, she is basically calling out all these Pride Month celebrations. And I think she wrote a column where she says, being gay is not a merit badge. And so I think that's a great woke update of the week, where even, folks from the so-called LGBTQ community are calling out these radical left-wing crazy Pride Month deals.
That's fantastic. I mean, what that reminds me of is like what the left is doing with these protests in L.A., where, a lot of those leftists down there, they're dressed up in ponchos and they've got maracas and all this stuff. And it's really a caricature. And it's the same thing with this LGBTQ stuff. They're out there, a bunch of woke liberals, and they promoting homosexuality and absolutely trying to be doing it just to be cool. Aaron, here's the story that I was going to suggest we talk about. And I don't know if you saw this, Aaron, but this is a big deal. The go broke dates, this is from the AP, the go broke dates for Medicare and Social Security trust funds have been moved up due to higher costs and legislation. Those programs are now going to go broke by 2033, which is literally 8 years away. So we've got now Medicare and Social Security going to be basically completely broke. The trust funds are going to run out in 8 years.
Well, and look at what the Republicans are trying to do with this one big, beautiful bill. All they're simply doing is, A, getting rid of the fraud in these programs, and then, B, hey, we're not going to give Medicaid to illegal aliens. And the Democrats are standing up in opposition to that. And so if they can't even join us in eliminating waste and stop giving handouts to illegal aliens, the Democrats are basically saying they want these programs to go bankrupt even sooner than those numbers might indicate.
Yeah, and then the same with Social Security. I mean, Democrats will try to tell you, oh, we have to save Social Security by bringing in a bunch of illiterate third world immigrants. And it's like, no, actually, when you add a bunch of citizens to the Social Security rolls, that drains the system. Now, right now, Social Security is going to be unable to pay benefits in 8 years, at which point Social Security will only be able to pay 81% of its benefits. So we're eight years away from Social Security having to cut benefits just because the trust fund's out of money.
All right. Well, David, thanks for letting me jump in from the other studio. I'll come back and join you in our Montana Talk studios for the next segment so I can play the Sheehy Trump audio, the Jillian Michaels audio, and much more. All right, quick break. By the way, we're taking your phone calls as well, 294-0970.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. We got the Tim Sheehy audio queued up. Now, Senator Tim Sheehy, back then, though, he was just the U.S. Senate candidate in Montana in the most important U.S. Senate race in the entire country. Donald J. Trump, this is from the field house in Bozeman. I believe this would have been August 11th, maybe, or August 12th, sometime around that time frame. Looking at the timestamp on my audio here, I was at the Trump rally. David Noble was at the Trump rally, and this was the line talking about Iran that David was recalling this morning.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's an honor to have you here. You know, listen, I always supported the Trump policies. I never knew the man, but I supported the policies, no question. But I became a true follower of his about 4 years ago. For those of us who fought in the Middle East, we knew who we were really fighting the whole time. It was Iran. They were murdering us. They've been murdering Americans for 45 years. They were blowing us up with EFPs. They were sending their hit teams across the border and killing us so we could never cross back over and get them. We could never touch them. It was a one-way fight. And in the Obama years, those of you who were there, you know, our hands were tied. I had to watch these guys get killed and sent home in boxes, and we couldn't do anything about it. And that was so frustrating. It made me sick. And a few years ago, when we were fighting ISIS, Trump told the Iranians, don't touch any Americans. We're here to fight ISIS. You touch one hair on an American's head, we're going to kill you. And they didn't believe him. And then they launched some rockets at some Americans up at Balad. And we lost a couple. And Trump didn't hesitate. The next day, he dropped a bomb on that son of a Qasem Soleimani and blew him to pieces. He blew them to pieces. And I told the president in person the first time we met, I said, listen, you may endorse me or not, you may support me or not, but I'll tell you one thing. You will always have my loyalty because you're the guy that dropped a bomb on that son of a Soleimani, and you'll always have your back for that.
Wow.
Incredible.
Man, listening to that again, I'm just like, oh, that is powerful stuff.
Very
Going
powerful.
Back and listening to that. It's a reminder of why that guy is now a United States Senator, the real freaking deal right there. And everything he's saying and doing and standing up for right now is everything he said he was going to do and stand up for less than 1 year ago on that stage at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse.
Yeah, you know what? You know what I caught there that I didn't catch the first time I heard that was how Trump dropped the bomb on Qassem Soleimani the day after they attacked U.S. forces in Balad or whatever. Said what that reminds me of is the fact that Donald Trump gave Iran 60 days to come to a deal, and guess what? On day 61, the bomb started dropping on Iran.
And not from us.
Not from us.
But from our good friends.
But it was day 61. It was day 61. And, you know, and then the media, you know, the media is so interesting. The way they'll ask Trump questions like, you know, oh, were you aware that Iran, that Israel was going to attack Iran? Have you talked to Netanyahu about this? And Donald Trump is like, huh? Like, did I know that Israel? It's like, We talk every day. Not only did I know that they were going to attack Iran, I know everything. Like, basically was the response, like, as if, you know, they were trying to, I think, drive a wedge between the U.S. and Israel and try to say, oh, Israel, because at the very beginning, if you remember when Israel first started this operation, it was sort of like, oh, they're blowing up the peace talks. And it's like, what it turned out to be, Aaron, was that Trump was running a public relations deception campaign to give Israel the chance to do a surprise attack against Iran, because there was really no question that Israel was going to attack Iran, because Israel will have another Holocaust if Iran gets a nuke, and Israel is not going to stand for that. And everybody's known that Israel will attack Iran. It's just the timing that was the question, right? And so the whole timing of Trump saying, hey, we got talks on Sunday still, we got peace talks with Iran. And then Trump even sent out a tweet saying, hey, we still have hopes for a nuclear deal. We still want to do this. Within hours after Trump's tweet, Israel started dropping bombs on Iran. And it's like, okay, this whole idea that, like, we're not involved, or that Israel did something out of turn here that's not consistent with U.S. foreign policy, it's ridiculous. And it's like, look, when Donald Trump says you got 60 days, or when Donald Trump says don't you dare attack us or we're coming after you,
and you think you can just blow him off, that reminded me of a couple of different things here. And now I totally lost my train of thought, because I started thinking about, I wonder if David heard what Whoopi Goldberg had to say on The View yesterday. Did you hear about what Whoopi Goldberg had to say?
No, but I was
whoopity-doo. I remember what I was going to say. So do you know who Michael McFaul is? Mm-hmm. Ambassador Michael McFaul. Nice guy. He was an Obama guy, big-time Democrat. He was Obama's ambassador to Russia. The point that I'm making here is that look at, and I'm not trying to be mean, but look at these doofuses in the media, and look at these doofuses in the Democrat Party. Oh, Donald Trump is Putin's puppet. Donald Trump is just pandering to Putin. Donald Trump is playing Putin brilliantly throughout this whole thing. And Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana, history professor, the head of their Middle Eastern think tanks, completely concurs and says the exact same thing, that he is brilliantly playing Putin on this whole thing. He is effectively boxing Russia and China out from backing their buddy in Tehran here.
Totally.
And that is because of the brilliance behind Donald J. Trump. But when McFaul was ambassador to Russia, he got treated horribly by Putin and by the Russians while Obama was president. Eventually, he had to come back home because he was just being treated so horribly. And he said something interesting. He said, well, Russia's economy was tanking, and Putin needed a scapegoat, so he needed to create a conflict with the United States to get the Russian people to rally behind him. And I was like, yeah, and you guys played right into his hands. And that's what they don't get, is like, they don't know how to handle tough guys. All they know is how to be weak.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. What I thought when you were saying that was how, you know, Russia, of course, has an entirely corrupt military and a defense procurement process, and they're struggling to keep up with production of all of these, of like, drones. So Russia has been buying drones from Iran, particularly these like Shahed drones, I think they're called, or something.
Shahed, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But Iran has been shipping all those drones to Russia, and because Russia needs them on the battlefields of Ukraine. And so this is all connected. The timing of this, the timing of what Trump's doing with the Russia-Ukraine war, and because, right, it's like if Trump is trying to negotiate a peace deal in the Russia-Ukraine war, and one of the reasons Russia's not entering into a peace deal on Russia-Ukraine war is because Russia's got this great supply of drones coming in from Iran and they can keep fighting. It's like, okay, well, having Israel not only take out the ballistic missile programs and things like that in Iran, but just other general military targets like their drone production facilities and everything like that. So you're right. I think Donald Trump's got all of this stuff coordinated. This isn't an isolated, you know, he's dealing with China and Russia. It's like, and everybody wants to talk about the Israel attack on Iran as an isolated thing about whether we're going to get involved or not, and not realizing that this is a part of a broader strategy on the part of Trump.
Well, think about it. Like, Russia's got their guns pointed at us. China's got their guns pointed at us. There's other smaller players that got their guns pointed at us. Iran's got their guns pointed at us. You remove a major threat off that. You remove a major chip off the field now, off the table. You take some big guns that now aren't being pointed at your forehead. This is historical. Newt Gingrich talked about this last night. What Bibi Netanyahu and Donald J. Trump are doing right now has the potential to be a Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher type of a combination going on right now. Look, I want to get David's take on that and much more, but let's go to Steve in Ballantyne on the phone lines. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, guys. Well, you know, Aaron, you had a caller the other day. You know, a lot of these people now are basically starting to call Trump basically a dictator. You know, they're turning on him when they, you know, a year ago they were all for him. And, you know, I get up real early in the morning and I don't listen to the channel Ground Zero just to listen to it.
That show's crazy. It's entertainment.
Yeah, it's dictator. To just get my breaking news, you know, the news top, bottom, the hour. And it's amazing that guy, you know, like Butler, Pennsylvania, you know, he was pro-Trump against everything else to do with the assassination, which we know is Iran. And now he's basically turned. He's basically saying on to all his listeners, you know, trying to convert them, saying, you know, he's nothing but a dictator.
Well, that guy's just entertainment. I mean, it's an overnight show. It's like 3-4 in the morning. People just want to keep their eyes awake while they carry their Monster Energy drink, driving their pickup down the road. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had fun. I had him on the show a few years ago because he claimed that there was a man werewolf near Lewistown, Montana, and he was all in. He was like, yeah, I'm telling you guys, it's a werewolf, and it was this weird hybrid wolf-dog combo. But the thing was nasty looking, but yeah, he was calling it a werewolf and, you know, having fun with it. But here's the deal. We try to be entertaining around here, but at the end of the day, we're also principled and we're fighting for the future of our country around here. So we're not just entertaining.
This episode is brought to you by Temptations Cat Treats. Your cat will come running for the perfectly irresistible Temptations Creamy Puree and Temptations Lickable Spoon Cat Treats. The best time to feed lickable cat treats to your cat is anytime. Feed by hand for a playful moment, in a bowl for a creamy treat, or as a topper to make mealtime fun. Visit TemptationsTreats.com to learn more.
Fox News commentary.
A California lawmaker thinks he can dictate what federal agents wear. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by the Senior Vice President of CRC Advisors, Matt Whitlock.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com. Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. This week, filmmaker and author Barry Averich joins me to discuss the shocking scandal that led to the demise of New York City's Knoedler Gallery.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com.
California lawmaker Scott Wiener is pushing the so-called No Secret Police Act, which has no teeth because California or any other state has no authority or jurisdiction to regulate what federal agents wear or do. But even so, it's an attempt to ban local, state, and federal law enforcement from covering their faces when interacting with the public. Wiener believes law enforcement shouldn't be allowed to protect their identity, but has yet to say anything about the mass rioters who are destroying L.A. Side note, Wiener was a big mask guy when it came to COVID and lambasted those who dared to go maskless. You know, ICE agents and other law enforcement aren't hiding their faces because they're ashamed of what they're doing. They hide their faces because leftists dox them, threaten their families, put targets on their backs simply for doing their jobs and upholding and enforcing the law. Either way, Wiener's act has no impact because he has no say in what federal agents wear or don't wear. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today, a late day shower storm is possible towards Bozeman. Otherwise, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman to the low 90s in Billings. For tonight, chance for scattered storms, especially towards Bozeman. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back to the mid-50s to around 60. Chance for storms Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, some great news to share with you. We had a caller call into the radio show. One of his company pickup trucks had just gotten stolen on the west end of Billings. He described the pickup on the radio. One of you, one of our Montana Talks listeners, spotted the pickup, contacted law enforcement. The vehicle has now been safely returned, and the thief has been busted by the BPD. That's a great news story.
For a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank, that's code PICKUP for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, since I mentioned this one as the woke update of the week from my standpoint, David had a great one as well. So Jillian Michaels is this, I guess, fairly well-known fitness guru. If you guys don't know the name, if you saw her face, you might be like, oh, okay, I've seen her somewhere before. She's like a fitness guru, but she happens to be gay. But she is speaking out big time against the radical transgender agenda and on a number of other issues. She was a big backer of President Donald J. Trump. But she wrote this column where she basically said that being gay isn't a merit badge. And she's calling out these Pride Month ordeals and just for the insanity that they are. She was on with Will Kane on Fox News.
Pride Month was ultimately about giving a voice to those we lost to disease, that we lost to brutality, that were silenced decades ago. But now it's become something very different, and it's about exhibitionism, and you see these huge corporations taking this on to market us stuff. This is not activism, and it's insulting, and it's disappointing, and we don't even give our fallen soldiers more than a day. But gays take over the entire month of June. And the reason I have a problem with this is because it's divisive. It breeds resentment. And that's not what this is about. It's supposed to be about belonging.
And to me, this also speaks to the whole pride flag being the official flag of the city of Missoula. It's about them pushing their divisive far left political agenda. That's what it is. It doesn't have anything to do with supporting or not supporting this person or that person. You know, and whatever their background is.
Do you see the Butte County attorney then said that now that Missoula said that that's its official flag is the pride flag, now any city can fly it?
Oh, really? Because it's one city's flag, every city?
Because the statute says that a city can only fly like official government flags. Well, that's now that's an official government flag. You know, one thing I really liked about what Jillian Michaels just said there is that she doesn't support this Pride Month because it's divisive, which it is so true, and it's so true about a lot of what the left does. And think about like a lot of what the Democrats do on racial issues that don't bring us together. It just causes more division. And I think that's kind of the point with the leftists. They want us to be divided on these issues because, like you were saying, look at the Trump coalition. There's a lot of homosexuals or gays or whatever you want to call them in the Trump administration. And if they agree with us on 80% of issues, we want them in our coalition. We love them. We respect them. We don't hate people because they may have a different lifestyle than, but that's, but, but, But the Democrats don't want that, so they put this stuff in your face to cause division. Because here's the deal: when I see a man walking in the street with his genitals out in front of little kids, I'm not going to support that, and I am going to get angry, and I'm going to start ranting and raving and calling that out. Right?
And the very rainbow flag itself is a poke in the eye to people of faith who see the rainbow in the sky as a symbol from God, and now you take what is an important symbol to people of faith and poke them in the eye with it to mock their
not
values.
Not a coincidence.
Coincidence, exactly right. David, hold that thought. I want to get some final thoughts from you here as well. But let me tell folks about a great radio giveaway we are doing this week. Glacier Country, my favorite country in all the world. Glacier Country, not just Glacier National Park. You got the Huckleberry Festival in Trout Creek, Montana. That's where my wife and I were married, is Trout Creek. I mean, so many great things to see in Glacier Country. But Flathead Lake. Flathead covers more ground, nearly 200 square miles, when you look at how big it is. It's the largest natural freshwater lake west of the Mississippi. You can win a one-night stay at the Red Lion Hotel in Polson, a gift certificate to the East Shore Smokehouse, and a scenic flight tour with Blue Goose Aviation. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. David, what's your final thoughts for our listeners across the state?
My final thoughts are, if you want to find me online, find me a Lecture fan, LCTR fan. I know you folks like my analysis. You can get unlimited amounts of it online.
Yeah, and go there and support his work. Leave him a tip while you're there and financially support the work that he does. Because he does this on his free time, and he's got a busy day job, a great family, too. So.
I do it on my free time, but people do support me financially because they find it worth it.
It's awesome. Yeah, great job. Great to have you here. We appreciate you joining us.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Medicare has been around for a long time, and its spending excesses have not gone unnoticed over those decades. The fact that spending now has grown to approach $1 trillion per year testifies to the obvious fact that whatever has been tried to curb spending hasn't worked. That doesn't stop political leaders, when they stop ignoring it, to propose more of the same solutions. One is what you might call the don't touch a thing approach, except for payments to providers, which are squeezed to bring down spending. The other approach, equally unpopular, has been to push more copays and deductibles toward recipients in the hope that they'll be more careful with their spending. The other failure of these and other top-down approaches has produced a see-no-evil, kick-the-can-down-the-road approach that simply ignores the train wreck that's clearly ahead. When spending can no longer be papered over, drastic changes to benefits or taxes or both will be forced upon us. There's got to be a better way. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.